Welcome back to another episode of Dose of Pharma. I'm your host, Christine, and today we are chatting with Min Tran from Amazon Australia. So Min, can you tell us a bit about what you currently do?
Yeah, so currently I'm responsible for onboarding new strategic partnerships onto Amazon, specifically within our home and leisure categories. What home and leisure entails is, I guess, toys, kitchen, sports, and outdoors. And effectively, it's one of the largest categories at Amazon. I'm also responsible for rolling out new customer experience features for our automotive category and just responsible for growing the automotive category as a whole in terms of what we offer in terms of selection to our customers and the experience that they can purchase whatever they need from an automotive perspective.
Awesome. So you, I guess, initially started off with completing a Bachelor of Pharmaceutical Science at Monash University. I guess it was definitely a few years ago, but can you elaborate more, I guess, on your experience, I guess, graduating from a STEM degree and then, I guess, the unconventional pathway that has led you to where you are today?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, it has been a couple of years, but I look back fondly of my memories of my degree. And I think at the time, what I originally signed up to was a Bachelor of Medicinal Chemistry. And so my first year at university was actually at the Monash Clayton campus. And I remember a lot of the focus in that year was actually around stats and maths, which I will touch on a little bit later around how that's actually impacted my career a little bit. But I then obviously in my second year, I moved into the pharmacy campus and undertook the pharmaceutical science work stream. And I think one of the key areas that I really enjoyed as part of it was the formulation the surface chemistry piece of it, which actually ended me up at Jorlex Group, which I guess that's where my whole career started. And that's where I would say the roller coaster really began. And I think whilst I was in that career, doing that degree, I was really unsure about where I wanted to go. And it wasn't very clear until I actually did the internship. And I was obviously fortunate enough to be part of the internship for Jorlex Group. And we'll always be forever grateful for the team there who allowed me to step in as a development chemist and shadow some people and start my journey as a development chemist. And I think that's where it really, I guess, started to take off, because Jorlex Group as a company is really good at fostering or developing new graduates. And I was lucky enough as part of that journey to be part of their graduate program. And I guess the first question you'll always ask is, well, you know, as a graduate for a development chemist, like you can't really rotate into different roles. So I was like a non-rotational graduate, but it was nice in the sense that I was able to connect with others within the business. And also, I guess, learn from the leaders within the business that weren't exactly part of the development chemistry work stream, right? And so it really kind of showed me this world outside of chemistry. And it kind of got me a little bit curious about, okay, well, what's there for me to see in this world, or like, where do I aspire to be? And I think my biggest inspiration that I could take out of the whole experience with Jorlex Group was that Patrick Houlihan, who is the current CEO of Jorlex Group, he started as a development chemist as a lab. In the lab, you know, he was a formulation chemist. He was part of the original team that built one of the most iconic brands in Australia, right? And he started in that role. And then he obviously moved on and held various leadership positions within the Jorlex Group business. And now it's obviously the CEO. So I took a lot of inspiration from that. It just kind of made me think about, okay, well, there is someone out there who, you know, wanted to, you know, started their career as a development chemist, but now it's ended up as the CEO of a business. And it made me realize that maybe, being a development chemist wasn't exactly where I wanted to be at that point in time. And there was the inspiration that someone else has done it before. And so it kind of helped me start thinking about where I really wanted to go with my career. And I was at a, I guess, when you're obviously entering the workforce for for the first time, it can be daunting, right? Like you don't know exactly where you want to head. And I think you just need to take the experiences from those around you and they kind of help that formulate into where you might want to head to. And there's no right or wrong answer. And so I think I was 3 years as a development chemist, really enjoyed it, really honed my skills from what I learned from my degree. But just being exposed to the graduate program helped open that door to say, hey, like maybe there's an opportunity out there to explore something else. And I still do remember the first day I made this decision to say, hey, I'm going to join the sales team. And mm-hmm. you can imagine at the time it was the most, to me at least, and for all those around me, sound like the most ridiculous thing, because here I was as a development chemist for the last 3 years, and all of a sudden I'm putting my hand up to say, hey, I'm going to join a sales team. And I remember being interviewed by my manager at the time, who his name's Daniel Carney, wherever you may be now, but he interviewed me, and I still remember the interview. It was a terrible interview. And he said to me, tell me about what sales experience you have. And I had none, right? Mm-hmm. But in that discussion, he must have seen something in me. And he, at the end of it, said to me, Min, I don't know why I'm doing this, but we'll give you an opportunity. And I think it that was fostered out of the graduate program. I had kind of been active enough in the graduate program to say, hey, like I showcased my personality and showcased who I was. And it was enough for them to say, hey, like we know you don't have the experience, but we're willing to take a bet on you because, you know, you've been with Jewel X Group for the last 3 years and maybe, you know, it'll be a good opportunity to grow further. And I think it was the most daunting thing on my day one as a sales manager or territory sales manager. I was given the keys to a car, a territory or a patch of land to look after, and off I went, right? And it was such an interesting experience because I remember calling my parents on that first day and saying, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, but here I was in a sales role. And it was interesting at the time because if you ask me, like, okay, well, Min, what did you really think about, or like, how did you process to make that decision? There was nothing around it. It was a gut feel saying, hey, this is where I want to head. And if I look back, I wasn't afraid to fail. Like, I was willing to take that failure more than, I guess, being a development chemist and wondering what the world could be out there, right? And so I took that step, and I guess the rest is really history, because I was a territory sales manager for 2 years, really enjoyed it. I managed the Northwest Victorian patch of land, and you spend a lot of time alone because you're driving to the likes of Swan Hill or like up north into the border. But I think as part of that, it gave me an opportunity to kind of continue on this like personal, I guess, professional as well, development growth journey. And I actually listened to a lot of podcasts during my downtime of driving between towns to see small businesses. And it just really started, I guess, helping me to hone my skills a little bit more. And I spent that as 2 years as a territory sales manager. And then I remember, it sounds wild, but because I keep making decisions that don't make any sense, but I remember thinking there was an opportunity up in Sydney as part of our Yates business, which is also under the Dulux Group banner, looking after our grocery business. And at that time, I'd been a sales rep for 2 years and, again, really enjoyed it, but just wanted to really move into a more strategic-based role, managing larger partnerships. And so I remember calling my manager's manager at the time and saying, hey, look, I know this opportunity has come up, and I know that I'm not as experienced in the sales role as others may be, but I want to take a chance. And they were like, like you can interview for it and whatnot. But the main thing that you need to understand is that the role is based in Sydney. And I remember thinking to myself that, you know, I think, you know, it was a good opportunity for me. I wanted to take the interview. I took the interview and I was successful at it. And it was the same comment at the time. They kind of said, hey, like, we don't know why we want to give you this opportunity, but we're going to give you this opportunity. And I still remember the day I was about to fly up to Sydney, thinking to myself, having that like, oh no moment where I'm like, what are you doing, right? Like, why are you moving your whole entire life to move up to Sydney? But it was just one of those things where it's like, again, it's never structured, right? Like you kind of just move or take in the opportunities from those around you and you just kind of go with it. And I'm, again, so glad I got the opportunity to move up to Sydney, because a year after being in that role of managing the likes of Woolworths, and Coles and IGA business, I obviously had the opportunity to step into Amazon. And I think that's when I would say my career really accelerated, purely on the fact that it's an amazing business to work for. But again, at the time, I was more in a strategic role. And at the time, the role at Amazon, I guess, was really just very day one kind of culture of trying to build a business from scratch, right? And you very much moved away from the strategy piece and just really getting your hands dirty. But I was more aligned with what Amazon was offering as a business than the actual role itself. And I think that's sometimes one thing that I wish someone told me from day one about my career, is that like sometimes you might just want to join a company just because what it offers is a value as a culture to you, as opposed to the actual role itself. Mm-hmm. And I remember joining Amazon in 2017, so that's like 5 years ago, and it was the most scrappy business I've ever seen, but I loved every piece of it because I was, an account manager, and like that wasn't really my role. My role was just really just getting your hands dirty, helping everywhere you can, picking up every single possible work stream just to, you know, launch this business into Australia. And since then, like, it's just been an amazing journey in growth, in the sense that Amazon's a business that really, I guess, talks about its leadership principles and values, and what you see is actually what you get. And it was probably the first business I've really seen it ingrained in everyday speak, right? Like you will speak to an individual, like a colleague, and they will talk about a leadership principle to you because it's just the way of working. And then from there, I was in an account manager role, and then very quickly moved into a sales manager role, and then moved into a category manager role. And then here I am now, 5 years later.
Yeah. Wow. What a journey you've been on. That is so awesome to hear. I think, like, as like we mentioned at the start, it is a bit unconventional. Like, you started, you know, doing, well, first you went into, I guess, medicinal chemistry, and then you went into pharmaceutical science, tested out the waters. And then through that, you were able to find the opportunity of going into sales, and then I guess have accelerated from there. And I think based on what you were describing, a key part of your career has been, you know, taking risks, taking the opportunities that come your way, and not being scared of failing and not being scared of, I guess, what's next. You seem to have a lot of, you know, oh no moments. Is this really what I should be doing next? I think that's really, it's really, I guess, inspiring to hear that, you know, it's okay to be unsure and uncertain and to just, you know, go for it. And, you know, if you have that gut feeling, if you think it's right, then go for it.
I would exactly summarize like that. Like, just like if anyone was to take anything away from this, I think it's just really, you know, don't be afraid of what you don't know. Right. Like that's the most exciting part. That's the most challenging part of just navigating everyday life. Right. Like, and as part of your career, no one's going to give you the golden key and say, this is the right answer to where you should head. It's really whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's also a good thing to bring up, that, you know, you're responsible for your own career, that no one else is going to help you pick what's next.
Yeah. No, and yeah, I completely agree with that point. One small piece of advice or tip that I could give is, I think you need to surround yourself with, you know, people always say, like, you know, surround yourself with the people that you want to be like. I find that it's a little bit harder to do than is said. But one thing that I found very useful is trying to find the right mentors for yourself, right? And mentoring is such a critical part of how I've been able to navigate my career. And I think it all started at Jewelux Group, because as part of the graduate program, they give you a mentor. I was, I guess, fortunate enough to be mentored for a very short period of time by Pat Houlihan. And he kind of brought me into look at his day-to-day. But one key mentor that I did have was Phil White, who's also still part of the Jewelux Group business. And he looks after, I think, the trade business now. But he really sat me down and showed me that life isn't, you know, like I guess you can have a perspective on something and that's your own perspective on it. But when you hear it from someone else, you realize that not everyone shares the same perspective as you. And he really challenged me to look at the world very differently. And since then, I would say like it's really opened my eyes to say, hey, like you got to really, I guess, counterbalance what your perspective is with someone else's perspective. And that will help you guide your way.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I think, I mean, as I'm starting my career journey, I'm starting to, learn the importance of, I guess, mentors and people that you can chat to and gain more knowledge and insight into, I guess, the industry or your career or your life. So, yeah, thank you for mentioning that. I guess in terms, you mentioned when you were in Jewelux, you saw the opportunity of going to sales, but, you know, you had no sale experience and I guess your manager kind of took a risk with you. In terms of, I guess, the skills that you think helped you get into sales and your manager saying yes, I guess, what do you think was important in that sense?
I think I touched on it a little bit around my first year of uni, and it's embedded into the pharmaceutical science degree as well, is the ability to look at data has really, I would say, helped me to navigate, or I guess maybe it helped me to be more successful in my everyday role than I had ever expected. And I'm a big fan of math. I've always enjoyed it. But at the time when I studied it, I really didn't understand what the practical use of it was. But when you join the business world, you very quickly realize that everything is based on numbers. And at Amazon specifically, everything is driven by data, but it's embedded in every business. And I find that the one thing that has made me successful, especially as a sales rep at the time, was that I could really easily speak to the numbers. But it's not just about speaking to the numbers, but it's being able to dissect and analyze what the numbers are telling you or what the data is telling you, right? And as a development chemist or a pharmaceutical chemist, like that, like you're looking at data on quite a regular basis, right? And you realize that you're taking insights and actions out of that data and turning them into, I guess, what the next step of your project is or what the next step you're going to take is. And it's not a very common skill. Like, you know, you might think that everyone studies math and they can take that, I guess, turning it from theory into practicality. But really, like, I find that that's one of the most important key skills that I've got out of it. And it drives my everyday role and I use it still today.
Yeah. And in terms of, I guess, more the, I guess, non-physical skills, more soft skills, are some that, I guess, transferable even from, when you were studying your degree to what you have used throughout your career?
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be unconventional advice, but the second one is. So the first one is like being at university, one thing I wish I did more was just be more curious and try and learn, because when you go into the workforce, you don't have the time. You don't have the luxury to, you know, take a step back, study what you want to study. Like I try and, you know, read, you know, a couple of pages of a book each day or listen to a podcast each day just to, I guess, spurn that curiosity. And it might not be in the field that you're currently looking at or working in, but it could just like what's your curiosity, right? And the reason why I say it is because you very quickly realize that the world is much larger than the world that you live in, right? And that's where it's super important to kind of gain as much insights or knowledge about the world and then kind of taking that back into your role. And I would say, like, I don't know how it would have linked, but like when I was at uni, I traveled a lot, right? And it helped me to really start opening my perspective of the world. And like when I like was a development chemist, and I realized that, well, you know, there's a lot to out this world that, like, you don't have to always stick into your own lane. You can jump into other lanes, right? And that's where I would say really think about, like, what the world has to offer, and just be curious, like, learn about whatever you want to learn about, and you'll find that very quickly you might end up where you want to end up. The second one is, and this is the kind of conventional one, but it's like, don't be afraid to fail. And I think, and that's such a vital skill that I find that, you know, people these days, they're very caught up in getting the right answer, being perfect. But like my biggest take of, if I could summarize it, is that I wasn't afraid to fail. It's daunting to fail. Yes. Like, the thought of failure is scary. But the thought of failure should never stop you from taking the step in the direction that you want to take. And this kind of ties into the last point of, like, when you're not afraid to fail, you should just take the action as quickly as possible, right? The more you kind of think about, you know, is this the right way to do something? Is it not the right way to do something? You're kind of frozen in the moment. You want to dissect it a little bit more, but the opportunity might pass, right? And so if at the time I was very caught up in, like, hey, is sales really the right thing? Or I just literally put my hand up. I said, hey, I don't care if I fail. And I probably didn't think about it that way. Like, I mean, there's the feeling that you get where it's like, oh my God, what am I doing? But yes, like, if I look back at it, it's like, I wasn't afraid to fail. I kind of just put my hand up and I said, hey, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to head, and let's see where it takes me. If I fail, that's fine. We can reassess. But taking the action before the opportunity passes you by is so important, because you don't want to wait until the right moment. There's never going to be the right moment. You need to kind of just move and take it from there.
Yeah. Wow. In terms of, I guess, failing and being scared of failing, I think, like, a lot of, you know, students or recent graduates, you know, you think of your career as this, like, it's this big thing in your head. And so, you know, every small thing you're scared of, and you're like, oh my gosh, is this going to, you know, impact the rest, you know, the rest of my career. And I guess you think of it as quite big in terms of failure. How did you overcome, you know, not being scared to fail? I don't know if that's going to be easy to answer, but.
Yeah, no, it's a very good question. And I think, you need to ingrain, there's a couple of, I guess, life values that I can say that has really helped me throughout my journey. And it's not anything to do professionally, though it could be personal, right? Mm. But I think being able to be a little bit optimistic, right? I think the world is there to give you what you want, if you want to take it. And, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but, like, having a little bit of optimism and being a little bit, I always say bullish, but just being a little bit, I guess, hopeful about where you want to go, it has never hurt anyone, right? I find, like, you know, we get into this world where it's like, you know, are we going to make the wrong step? But I remember, like, my daughter, who I just recently had, like, she's not afraid of anything, right? And it's so beautiful, like, that she's just not afraid of anything. And I think, like, we as we grow up, we get more and more scared about what the world going to do to us. But the reality is, like, the world's there to give you whatever you want. So have a bit of optimism. And I think being able to reflect on the moments that you have failed, like, you know, what key lessons have you learned from it? And then, you know, how do I take that lesson into my next move or my next opportunity, right? And so my favorite saying is, like, you never win or lose. It's either you win or you learn, right? And so if you switch that mentality and say, hey, like, you know, opportunities are out there. You can go get it if you want. You'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. That's really important, I think. I guess I was going to wrap up asking to offer a piece of advice, but I think you've offered lots of different pieces of advice for our students. So maybe to wrap up, I guess, how do you see yourself navigating through the next part of your career? Because the past years have been, I guess, a roller coaster of, you know, going from science to sales and so on. How do you see the next, you know, 5, 10, 20 years going for you?
Yeah. I'm a very big believer of being able to challenge yourself on a regular basis, right? And you should never get too comfortable sitting in your own lane. I've used the analogy way too many times, but it's one of those things where when you become too comfortable, you're not growing professionally or personally, right? And so I can't say where I'm going to be for the next 5, 10 years or 20 years, yeah. But I can safely say that whatever step I take next will be a step in a direction that I'm very uncomfortable with. And it's easier said than done, because I know that the moment that I get an opportunity that is very challenging, I'm going to have that oh no moment of like, am I going to succeed? Am I going to be able to get through this? But every decision that I've made up until this point, and this is an important fact about just reflecting on what your life lessons have taught you so far, but every decision that I've made so far where I have failed, I've learned something out of it. And every time that I've felt very challenged is where I've been able to get the most reward. And that's like the first day I put my hand up to move into sales. That's the first day I, you know, decided to move up to Sydney. Like, those were all very challenging decisions in my life, but they're the most rewarding because they've got me to where I am now. And whatever the next step will be, I know that it'll just be the most outrageous thing that I've never thought of. And it's going to be extremely challenging, but I will most likely say yes, just because I'm not comfortable. And I think if I continue to do that, I find that I feel like the next 20 years will also be another roller coaster, but I don't mind that at all.
Wow. I love how, I guess, you seem to love to live in the uncomfortable, which I think is rare to find. But I think it's really good to hear that, you know, you should get comfortable with the uncomfortable. You know, you're not set in stone. Like, you have been doing sales for, you know, a good amount of times, but, you know, your mind is so open to everything else. And I think that's what I like. I think more recently in like the newer generations is the idea of being able to actually switch career pathways and not having to, you know, work in one single job for, you know, 40, 50 years.
Yeah, most definitely. And like, I don't want to send out the message that you have to change careers. Like, yeah. that should never be the message. The message should be that, like, you should challenge yourself, right? Like, let's say that you are working down the development chemist workstream, but and you're wondering, okay, well, where can I go next? I think one of the biggest steps that one of the biggest learning curves I've ever had was just managing a team, right? And so when you might be comfortable in your everyday role as a chemist, but the moment you start managing someone and helping them to grow their career, it opens a whole new kettle of fish, right? And so, and then it could be, okay, well, once you start managing one person, you might think, well, how hard is it to manage two people? But reality is, like, managing one person is hard. Managing two people is even harder because you got very different personality types that you need to learn about and understand. And yeah, so it's not about having to have a career change, but it's just like, what's the next opportunity that will challenge you? And as long as you kind of, I guess, transition between the comfortable and the uncomfortable, I think you're going to be heading in the right direction.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Min, for joining us today. I think you've given us a lot of insight about, you know, your career pathway and, you know, studying science and starting at Dulux and now working at Amazon. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Christine.
Dosa Pharma acknowledges the traditional custodians of the various lands throughout Australia on which we connect today and pays respect to elders past, present and future.